Peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this evening message is the gospel lesson we just heard read a few moments ago. Especially this part where Jesus says to them, "The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." Dear friends in Christ. The name Judas, well, it will always be associated with betrayal, with treachery, with handing over the innocent Jesus to sinful men who wanted to kill him, who would actually kill him. So tonight we kind of look, we begin by looking at and through the betraying eyes of Judas. But what I want to lead you to is the recognition that it's most important for us to take a hard look at ourselves and then to fix our eyes on Jesus and not Judas. Mark writes, "Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priests in order to betray him to them." One of the 12. Mark mentions this. He says that Judas was one of the 12. And that kind of highlights the deeply personal nature of the treachery and the brazenness of his betrayal. He had been chosen to be one of the 12 apostles, a very select group who had the privilege of being in the inner circle of the Son of God for 3 years. Judas had, he'd seen it all and heard it all. He knew firsthand the mercy and love of Jesus. He'd witnessed all of Jesus' miracles. He'd heard the Beatitudes again and again. Maybe he'd even heard the parable of the rich fool and the warnings about greed, and they were drummed into his ears. He'd gone out, and he actually preached in Jesus' name with the rest of the apostles. He'd heard the warnings about those who preached in the Lord's name and then are shocked on Judgment Day to find out that their faithfulness has actually landed them in hell. Now, so if you want to see Exhibit 1 of somebody who had all the right things taught to him and yet still rebels against it, then that's Judas. He had actually sought out the chief priests with an offer to hand Jesus over to them. And when they heard it, it says, they were glad and promised to give him money. The Jewish leaders, of course, were looking for kind of an inconspicuous location to arrest Jesus, and Judas is going to give them the ideal opportunity to do just that, right in the middle of the night in an isolated garden. And as we know from the other Gospels, Judas was a greedy man. And I think John says he was a thief, that he would steal from the treasury of the apostles on a regular basis. So he must have looked at this betrayal as an opportunity to line his pockets, those 30 pieces of silver that he was getting. So his plan was in place. But of course, first, he had to wait through the preparation for the Passover meal and had to sit through the meal itself with Jesus. At dinner, of course, Jesus sits there and he's looking at his disciples, his apostles, and he drops the bomb on those 12 apostles. As they were reclining at table and eating, Jesus said, "Truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." Try to picture that for a second. 26 eyes around the table, if you will. And imagine what they were doing. They were looking everywhere. Jesus, of course, seems to be calmly looking around. He knows exactly who it is. He's the Son of God, but he's not giving anything away. Mark says that they began to be sorrowful and to say to Jesus, one after another, "Is it I? Is it I?" You can almost picture them looking around the room with suspicion. I'm like, "No, it's not me. It must be one of these guys." Every one of them. You might even picture tears streaming down the faces their faces to express their grief at what Jesus is predicting. What do you mean one of us is going to betray you? How can that be? But what were Judas's eyes doing? Did he look down in shame? Did he maybe nervously glance around to see if anybody was looking at him? Did he put on a good show and act like just like the rest of them? Probably the last one. He probably just said, "Oh, is it I? Is it I?" Maybe with a little gleam in his eye and a little hint of a smile on his lips. The deceptive smile. What's striking, of course, about Mark's account here is that Jesus doesn't name Judas. He never says his name. We don't hear that the traitor is Judas until the Garden of Gethsemane. So why do you think that is? Why do you think Mark didn't mention it? Why do you think Jesus doesn't mention it in this gospel that Judas is the betrayer? It's one of the 12. Or at least Jesus doesn't mention Judas's name. Well, maybe there at the table, Jesus wanted each one of the 12 to examine themselves and to see if he had the capability to betray innocent blood. If he had the ability to commit treason against the Lord. Maybe he wanted them to examine themselves for a minute. And I don't think it's much different for us, because I think Jesus wants each of us to examine our own loyalty to the Lord as well. St. Matthew's Passion by Johann Sebastian Bach, it takes this scene, this fateful scene from the Last Supper, and it sets it to music. When it gets to the section in which Jesus announces that the betrayer is at the table, part of the chorus sings the words of each of the disciples asking if he is the traitor. The text in German is, "Herr bin ich?" This is actually straight out of Luther's German translation of Scripture. Luther's German translation. The translation in English is, "Lord, is it I?" And then comes a confession to Jesus in this song, in the form of a chorale sung by the whole chorus. It begins, "Ich bin's." It is I. Here's the English translation of the chorale verse where it's addressed and confessed to Jesus. "It is I. I should atone, bound hand and foot in hell. The scourges and the bonds and what you endured, my soul has earned. It is I." Bach gets the Judas story right. And he highlights that each and every one of us have participated in the sin of Judas. We've all committed treason, turning against our Lord. That's what our sin is. It's a betrayal of the King of Grace. And if we were to die in our sin, it certainly would have been better for us not to have ever been born. And that's why it's such good news when Jesus is saying there in the upper room when he says, "The Son of Man goes as it is written of him." And then in the garden, he says, "The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners." See, Jesus came specifically for this purpose, to be betrayed and to pour out his holy precious blood and suffer an innocent death to atone for our sin. That's why he came. To atone for our sin, for Judas's sin, for the sin of the whole world. Mark 10 says it, Jesus says it this way, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." There's some really, really deep mysteries here. Judas, of course, is morally culpable for his betrayal of Jesus. And he justly paid the price for his sin and in penitence. Even though the Scriptures had foretold what would happen. God didn't force Judas to do anything, but it was Judas's sinful will. It was his sinful will, along with the devil's prompting, that led him to do this. Yet behind the scenes, this is what God wanted all along. The Father wanted to punish his Son for our sake. He wanted to hand over his Son to this death. And the Son went willingly out of love for you and me. And for all sinners, of course. The verb that we translate as betray in this text can also have the simple meaning of to hand over or to deliver. In Romans chapter 4, verses 24 and 25 says that faith will be counted for righteousness to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. So who did the handing over? Who did the handing over of Jesus? Was it Judas? Absolutely, to be sure. But above all, it was God the Father who handed him over. It was God the Father who loved us this way, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So fix your eyes on the one who for you became a curse on the tree of the cross and find salvation in him alone. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Because brothers and sisters in Christ, we're traitors, we're Judases. And in baptism, we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb of God, the same one that we betrayed. We can't try to hide our crimes. I mean, let's face it. What can you hide from God? Instead, we need to confess our crimes. He's not surprised that we're sinners. He knew what he was doing. He knew exactly that as he went to the cross to establish his kingdom of grace. And he knows that even now, today, even as he forgives the sins of all those who repent and who are penitent. So for every time that we've betrayed him, for every time that we've made promises to him that we couldn't keep, and for all the commitments to our Lord that we have failed to keep, remember this: there is forgiveness. There's forgiveness for you and for me. There is forgiveness. There's forgiveness for us even as the words of absolution drum into our ears, as the grace of baptism comes to our remembrances, as the forgiving, life-giving body and blood of Christ is given into our mouths. There is forgiveness. And it's yours. It's ours. As I said before, the verb that's translated as betraying, can also mean handing over or delivering, is actually used by Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He actually uses it twice there. Listen how he uses it. He writes it this way: "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered, handed over to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was delivered, handed over, betrayed, took bread and gave it to his disciples." Of course, we're accustomed to hearing "on the night that he was betrayed," and that is certainly correct. But what's most important is that God the Father handed Jesus over to death in our place. The apostles then handed down to us the words of institution for the Lord's Supper. And in that meal, Jesus actually hands his body and blood over to us for the forgiveness of our sins, for eternal life, and for salvation. So remember this every time you see and hear those precious words: "Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread And then you can sing with joy the Nunc Dimittis, Lord, let your servant go in peace according to your words. My own eyes have seen your salvation. In his name, amen and amen. And now may